right, turn to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. Philippians, Colossians. Colossians chapter 3. Let's stand to read God's word tonight. I can be faithful on Sunday night. It's a big deal. Some people don't think it's a big deal, but it's a big deal. And it is important for us to be faithful to God's word. You see, the Holy Spirit may bring something to you tonight that you have never got at home. And I can understand if you're sick, and I can understand if you have to work, but I don't have any understanding for those who just want to stay home because they're tired. We're all tired. I'm tired. One man said, I'm so tired, I'm just tired of it. But anyway, I'm tired. All of us are tired. It's a rat race in life. And we're all trying some way, somehow to make ends meet. We're all trying somehow to get the job done. And so I understand that. And that's the way it is. Just the way it is. So I've been preaching for almost 48 years now. And I found out something that I'm always tired. I thought, oh, man, one more hour of sleep. Yeah, I didn't do it because I stayed up 1 hour later last night. Hey, man, that's the way it is, you know. So, oh, yeah, I changed the clock back. We'll live by that thing. But anyway, so be faithful. Be faithful. Push yourself. I've learned a little older you get, you miss out on things because you just sit there. Get up, push yourself out of the chair. And I'm thinking about getting a launch pad for my chair. Just push a button and it flings me out. Hey, man, my dad used to have one of them things that just kind of weaseled out, you know. But I thought, man, if I had to wait that long to get up from that chair, I'd probably fall asleep. Amen. So I hope you'd be faithful. I thank you for being faithful. Of course, me speaking to you about that is that's just preaching to the choir. You know, but you know you're supposed to be faithful. I want you to read this. I want you to be very careful about the saints. We saints, we're saints. Those who trust Jesus Christ as personal Savior is a saint. There's two descriptions of a human being. You're a saint or you're an ain't. You are a missionary or mission field. The Bible talks about the saints. And we are the saints, those bought by the blood of Jesus Christ. We've accepted Christ as a personal Savior. Some do not act very saintly, but they're saints, okay? And the Scripture teaches us that saints are subject to judgment. Saints are subject to judgment, and they are, in fact, the Bible says we are to daily judge ourselves before the Holy Spirit of God. The Bible says, but let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread. We are to judge ourselves any time and any place. We are to judge that which is displeasing to the Holy Spirit and confess our sins to the Lord. And the basics of that judgment is sonship. We are under the authority of Jesus Christ, our God and our Savior and our Father. All of us at one time had a father that we were subject to. Some fathers may not have been as appropriate, I guess that's the best word, appropriate as other fathers, but still we were under authority of them. When we become a child of God, guess what? We have a father. And he is the perfect father. He is the perfect dad. He's the perfect Abba father. He does everything right. He has insight of why you did things. But wouldn't that be great if we were a father and we knew the insight of our child why he did something or why she did that? Wouldn't that be nice? And not only that, wouldn't it be great if we know if they lied or not? You know? Boy, I like that. Maybe not. Maybe that wouldn't be good. But anyway, someday we'll get that chance during the millennial. We'll get to judge people. We'll have the mind of Christ. We'll be able to look right through them and say, nah, you're lying. Off goes your head. Amen. So that's a wonderful thought. Amen. But anyway, we are to, on the basis of the judgment of his sonship, and God and the Lord chastens us so we will not be condemned with the world. God chastens us. God administers correction to us so that when the world watches us, they say, well, there's something different about that guy. Boy, if he does something wrong, he's going to get in trouble. If he does something wrong, boy, I've seen God just whoop him, amen. And so I want to talk to you about that tonight. Look at your Bible, Colossians chapter 3 and beginning of verse 5. Mortify, therefore, your members. That's bodily parts. Mortify. Your bodily part. Mortify. Mortify comes from the word we use, mortician. It's death that comes from this idea. Mortify. Destroy the vitality and the vigor. In other words, it just means to destroy or to kill. Mortify, therefore, your members which are upon the earth. Fornication. Uncleanness. Inornate affections. Evil concupiscence and covetousness, which is idolatry. For which things sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience. You notice it says children. It doesn't say the worldling, it says the children. In the which ye also walked sometime when ye lived in them. But now ye are put. Now ye also put off all these: anger, and wrath, and malice. Malice just means a desire to harm somebody, desire to hurt somebody. I remember when I played football. Sometimes I had malice against that quarterback. I wanted to hurt him. Amen. That's a terrible thing. Father, forgive me. Blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed knowledge after the image of him that created him. For there is neither Greek nor Jew, nor circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond or free, but Christ is all and in all. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, and long-suffering, forbearing one another. Forbearing has the idea of sustaining or holding up or enduring, helping someone get through something, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel that has the idea of resentment and disagreement, is a quarrel, a grudge. If any man have a quarrel against anyone, even as Christ forgave you, so also be ye. So Paul writing to the church at Colossae, he says, listen, you have no leg to stand on when it comes to that kind of stuff. And there, I hear a lot of Christians that they revel to the fact of many of these things that they just will not forgive and they will not put away that old man. Look at verse 14 now. Above all these things, I preached a while back about something on it that says, and the most important thing, you know, I think I'll find a whole bunch of these there. I know they're in the Bible. Above all things, put on charity. That's love, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your heart, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye, what? Thankful. Father, I ask you tonight, you give us wisdom as we look in the Word of God here in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. There is sin, and then there are sins. While there is no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, because he has judged sin, S-I-N, yet the believer is not to excuse sins in his own life. It is important that every believer understand the distinction between sin and sins. First of all, sin refers to the old nature. the old man. Colossians 3, 5 through 9, we just read about that. This is the nature that we received from the first Adam. All of us have sinned. Your DNA all has some way, somehow, points to sin nature. All of us are sinners. I've heard some of you think that you don't have sin, but you are wrong. But anyway, the sins of our fathers, all the way back to the sin of Adam and Eve. And Adam and Eve brought sin into the world. And death passed upon all men, for all have sinned. That's a rude awakening in a lot of people. We are sinners. We are sinners. We have this thing inbred in all of us. I have a dog. And he's a habitual sinner. He found my Johnson Murphy shoes that I wore this morning. I was being so kind to him, I let him play outside and everything and brought him in. I was training some things and I was dead tired and I thought, I'll just take about a half hour nap. And I had all my stuff laid out, ready to go, come to church. He ate half my shoelace and ate the ridge just a little bit. I can still wear them, but I can still think of him. He's a dog. That's his nature. It's his nature. Why do you think Reeves call their dog Chewy? That's why Joe Mark called his dog Liberace. I mean his cat Liberace. You'll think of that for a while. What did Liberace do? He's a pianist. That's right. So anyway. So sins refer to our old nature. The things that are inside of us. The things that pop up mysteriously in our lives. Why did I think of that? What in the world? I don't know about you, but I get that all the time. Secondly, sins also refer to the old nature. It is the fruit of the old nature. It's what bears out. It's after the seed has been planted. If you let that seed grow, and it comes into a plant, the plant is going to flower, and then the flower is going to turn into seeds. And that's the sins that refer to in the old nature. It's a fruit of our old nature. It is the things that are dealt with our self-judgment. I started off before, it's important for us to understand that we need to self-judge ourselves every day. If not every hour, every moment of our lives. First, in Colossians 5:3, we believers are told to mortify or put to death our members, and then he categorizes a list of sins committed by the old man. And they're, you say, man, they're hideous sins. Yeah, they are. Sin is hideous. In the place of the old man, the old nature, we are told to put on the new man and the new nature. The new nature is received from the last Adam, who is Christ, Jesus. You read through Ephesians and also Colossians, you'll note that how the believer is told to put off sin and then put on. The grace of God. And it is our responsibility. It's not your wife's responsibility. It's your responsibility. It's not your husband's responsibility. It's your responsibility. It is a total personal thing in our lives. Now, when we do not do that, then all of a sudden our wife or our husband, it gets in their way. And as a child, it gets in our parents' way, or it gets in our... Or as a parent, not living by the Word of God and not putting off the old thing, it gets in their children's way. And that becomes very, very difficult to live a Christian life when you keep putting on the old man and instead of taking it off. You want to put on the new man. Now, I guess the next question we would ask is, what is meant by the judgment? What is meant by this self-judgment? It is a judgment of the believers of his own moral condition, judging himself for allowing evil ways and habits to continue in his life. He has got to come to the point where he says, stop, I'm going to stop that. Some of you made those stops. Some of you were a teenager, rebellious. Some of you had silent rebellion in the home, and there are certain things that dad did and certain things that mama did, and you rebelled in your heart, but you were quote-unquote smart enough that you did not let it erupt in your life. And then there's other of you who were not as smart, and it erupted in your life, and all of a sudden dad had to deal with it, and mama had to deal with it. And really, you're the smartest one, because the one that has silent rebellion in his heart, many times they never, never, ever get rid of it. And they'll carry it right on. They'll carry it right on to their marriage and to their husband, and even rebellious to their children, and on and on and on. Rebellious to their church, rebellious to the principles of the Word of God. And they'll just keep on, keep on. You can't tell me what to do. What is that deal? I'm amazed that people come to me and tell me that they're going to go sin. Why don't you talk to my boss about that? I've had people tell me, say, well, you know, preacher, I know what you preach, but this is what I'm going to do anyway. Why'd you tell me? Because the Bible says you want to make sure that your pastor prays properly for you, and that he does not pray to God to take care of that business. It's very difficult in a pastor's life to see people just despitefully go out in sin. It is an incredible thing. I look at them like, have not you heard anything I've said from this sacred pulpit? I mean, have not you heard anything what God says to you in your life? Are you kidding me? I saw a picture on the Facebook a couple weeks ago. It was a picture of a 57-year-old pastor. He looked 98. He said, don't tell me that being a pastor doesn't age you. It's pretty funny, but then after a while, I looked in the mirror. What is meant by self-judgment? Self-judgment is that the believer judges his own spiritual condition, his moral condition, judges himself for allowing sin, way, and habit to continue life. He says, I'm not going to do that anymore. Now, here's the deal. Either you do it, and you judge it, or somebody has to do it. The Scripture teaches over in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, and we're going to be talking about that tonight. We're going to be having the Lord's Supper. Verse 31 says this: if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, in other words, it doesn't completely explain it, but we certainly know what it means. Your dad ever tell you something, he didn't say everything about it, but you knew what he was talking about? It says this: for if we judge ourselves, we should not be judged. If we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. Verse 32, but when we are judged, we are what? Chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. I think there's three aspects there. Number one, I judge myself. I make sure that if something's going on in my life, I check it. I says, no, check it right at the door. I'm not going that way anymore. And then there's those who won't do that, and then God brings chastisement to you. And God is merciful. And then if we will not take the chastisement, I think this is the third thing, we will not accept the chastisements of God and check it at the door then, that we would not be condemned with the world. See, here's the deal. If you live on the plane of the world will pat you on the back. Good job. Really great job. You live above the plane of the world, Like some of these Christian people that says, no, I will not make a cake for a Sodom's couple. The world will prosecute you. They'll call you weird. They'll call you Bible pounders. They'll call you, that's good, self-righteous. But we are doing what the Bible says, and so we should live above the plane of the world. You love below the plane of the world, they'll prosecute you. You go into immorality. You go into pornography. You go into thievery. You go into you name it, and they will prosecute you. So the Lord God said, hey, there are three things that are going to happen to us. Number one, when we see that we've erred, we ask God to forgive us. Take care of it. Stop it right there. My grandmother used to say, nip it in the bud. That means when she was out in her garden and she saw a weed coming up, she'd nip it in the bud. She'd kill it before it ever got going. But if we're unwilling to that, and God says, hey, there are some weeds in your garden, and you need to take care of them, and you just keep letting them grow, and God comes in and chastises you. And then we get to the point in our life we can't live without it, and all of a sudden it's against the law that the government has tried to judge morality. They're not doing a very good job of it right now, but judge morality. And then you go to jail. That's just the way it is. So this self-judgment, we believers, sin refers to the old nature, the fruit of the old nature, and we believers are to mortify it. And if we don't, God's going to take care of it. And if God won't take care, if you won't allow God to take care of it, you living on this earth, earthling is going to take care of it for it. Now, in place of the old man and the old nature, we are told to put on the new man and the new nature. So, what is meant by judgment? We have our own moral condition, judging ourselves and allowing the evil habits and evil ways to stop. Say, we're not going to go that way. God categorizes two kinds of fruit of our life. Fruit of flesh, fruit of the spirit. Fruit of the flesh, pretty simple. Fruit of the spirit, pretty simple. It includes also his own absolute and voluntary submission to the teaching of the Word of God. God said, okay, this is where I want you to live. It's voluntary. You can do anything. By the way, you can do anything you want to do. Did you know that? You can do anything you want to do. Just go ahead. But there's always consequences. You do things that are right, you get the consequences that you're doing right. You do things wrong, you get consequences going wrong. And being enlightened and convicted by the Holy Spirit of God, and you must have the Word of God in you to do this, and there's so many Christians that don't get it. They just go on living like they want to live. They don't read their Bible. They don't check up to it. It's the most crazy thing. I know some people that are scholars of the Word of God, but never put it in gear. They're just spinning their wheels. You know, the engine's running, but they're not going anyplace. Boy, they can critique the Word of God. They can critique their pastor. They can critique their Bible students, and boy, they just got it all down, buddy. You know, they're doing nothing. And they have this haughty facade about them that says, I'm better than you are. In fact, John wrote about that. They're called Gnostics, those that knew more than anybody else. Oh, we know. Well, then do it. You know what? If you know how to win somebody to Jesus Christ, don't lead somebody to Jesus Christ, you're worthless to the cause of Jesus Christ. Whoa, what'd you say? I said you were not about your Father's business. That's Bible. I don't care if you can make the best turkey in the world. We're not called to make mashed potatoes and turkeys and have a big supper. We're called to win the world to Jesus Christ. Now, of course, we have these things like we're going to have this Wednesday night to invite the lost and get a chance to tell them about Jesus Christ. Amen? But you did not do your God a service by fixing a turkey or fixing candy yams. You do your preacher a service. Do God a service. You do God a service by telling others about Jesus Christ. We have got this thing all screwed up. Brother Howes just took over the church at First Baptist Hammond, Indiana, years ago, back in the 50s. And this church was a huge church, a very influential church. Many, many millionaires in this church. It's in the steel country, and boy, I'll tell you what, a lot of high dollar people are, people who own big grocery stores and own huge shops and everything around. And Brother Howes is trying to get these people to understand that the most important thing about it is winning souls to Jesus Christ. You tell them the truth. But they're a high salute and high society church, and this old woman came up to him. She said she had a great big old wooden spoon and a big old deal of baked taters. And she said, God has called me. He said, God never called a woman to make potatoes. God called you to win the souls right now. Making potatoes is a good thing. We ought to all make potatoes. Hey, what did Jesus say to Martha? Martha, Martha, Martha. You're just so busy about things. Hey, he pointed at Mary. She has chosen the best. That's sitting at the feet of Jesus Christ. He said, well, you make me uncomfortable. Well, that's the way it is. I'm not making you uncomfortable. The Bible is making you uncomfortable. Well, to win people to Jesus Christ. Every week, we'll at least pass out a couple tracts and ought to be telling somebody about Jesus. Every week, you ought to make it a point in your life. You say, but I can't do that. How hard is this? Will you take that? Wow. That took college education, didn't it? So what is meant by judgment? It includes also our own absolute and voluntary submission to the teaching of the Word of God. And if you don't know the Word of God, you can't know what's wrong. Being enlightened and convicted by the Holy Spirit through the teaching of the Word of God, we will voluntarily submit to His Word. And when we voluntarily submit to His Word and realize we're a sinner, we go to 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just for us, cleanse us from our sins. He will cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And God wants us to get to that point in our life that we say, hey, you know what? That's where I'm going to go. Now, I'm going to give you some results. I think that this will encourage you, okay? I want to be an encouragement to you. I don't want to just shiver your timbers, but I want to encourage you. I want you to know that help is there. This is our judgment as sons. When God shapes us and when God gets a hold of us and we're convicted of things we have been doing, we made something our idol. Something that, you remember Vida Brown when he was here and he preached about the idols. He said some people make idols. Anything that keeps you out of church is an idol. That was one of his illustrations. He talked about basketball and volleyball and baseball and all that kind of stuff. You know, it's an idol. Oh, my kid, he's got to be at Wednesday night baseball game or he'll never get to play again. Well, bless God, I guess he's not going to play again. My kids, listen to me now. My three boys, great athletes. My middle boy was the MVP of the Christian basketball tournament years ago. These guys can play ball. Not once did they miss church because of the ball game. I'd go to the coach and I said, now listen, this is the way it is. I'm a pastor. And my son will not be at the ball games on Wednesday night and will not play on Sunday. If you want them to play, that's the way it is. I say, hey, no problem, preacher. No problem. He said, but you're a pastor. You can do that. You can say, hey, I'm a deacon. And I want to make sure that you know that nothing gets in the way of my Wednesday night and Sunday. Not going to get in our way. I'm not going to do it. You say, I don't like that kind of preaching. I don't like your kind of living. No, God don't like your kind of living. You've made an idol out of it. Some of you guys go hunting. You should never miss church for hunting. I don't care who you are. I've never hunted. I never hunted a Sunday. Never. Won't do it. Our Shear family would not do it. We won't do it. You should be preaching that the only day. Then I'd take some vacation. And I think that I know that God will bless you. I got a few nice trophies that I never hunted. I'm saying, won't do it. Won't do it. I think it's against, I think it's bad. I think it's wrong because the Bible says not forsaking the assembly. He said, I don't like that. Talk to God. Tell God about it. Tell God. Just shake your fist to God. Say, God, I don't like that. I dare you. I just double dog dare you to shake your fist at God and say, God! Did your attendance at Heritage Baptist Church, what if everybody attended Heritage Baptist Church like you attend Heritage Baptist Church? Well, I just don't feel good. I don't feel good either. That's such a long service. Go to a ball game, you're so happy to have extra innings. It's an amazing thing. If we have to bring popcorn, we have to have easy chairs in there, we'll do it for you, amen. Well, maybe that's a little bit more. The results. There are two sins. There's a preacher who's preaching. He says, there's 110 sins in the Bible. And a guy came, he said, hey man, how you doing? Good. He says, you the preacher? He said, yes I am. He says, I come to hear your sermon. It was in the newspaper that you're going to preach on all the sins of mankind. All 110. He said, well, I'm glad. He said, well, I just want to see if I didn't miss any. That's about the mentality of some people, amen. There's two sins. One sin of omission and the sin of commission. Omission, knowing to do good and doing it not. I know I'm to be faithful to God's word. I know I'm supposed to be faithful to God's house. I know I'm supposed to be faithful to my tithing. I know I'm supposed to be faithful to my alms and my offerings. I know I'm supposed to be faithful to my wife. I know I'm supposed to be faithful to my children. I know I'm supposed to be faithful to my husband. I know I'm supposed to be faithful to my parents. And on and on and on and on. But you don't do it. That's a sin of omission. You did not do what God commands you to do. Then there's a sin of commission. And that's doing things which God forbids. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not have any other God before you. You know, honor thy father and mother. You know, those are the things you're supposed to be going through and doing those things that God said. If you don't honor your father and your mother, God said, I told you to do that, and you won't do it. And that's omission. And thou shalt not steal. You go out and steal something. It's not yours. I'm surprised that people will take things that are not there, even theirs. Teach your children that. Beat that into them. No, that's not yours. Well, I found it. Founders, keepers, losers, weepers. Where in the Bible did you find that? I found the Bible says you're supposed to bring back what you found, amen. Huh? Yeah. I've got some books. I had some books in my ministry. I don't know where they're at. I don't know whose ministry they're in today. I had some nice pens. I don't know where my nice pens went. It's incredible. I probably lost them someplace. But the sin of omission, knowing to do good and doeth it not, this is rebellion against the known will of God. I'm not to do that. I have to caution myself. And when I realize that I am doing that, my first thing is drop to my knees and say, God, I have sinned. Forgive me that sin. You know what? I can't wait to get to heaven. You know, Bob, the reason I want to get to heaven so bad is I don't have to spend all that time asking God to forgive me of my sins. What a waste of time. Some of you agree with that? Yeah. What a waste of time. Just what form of chastisement God is going to give us? Well, what happens if we fail to judge ourselves? Go to your scripture and go to 1 John chapter 5, verse 16. 1 John 5:16. If any man see his brother sin a sin which is not unto death, he shall ask, and he shall give him life for them that sin not unto death. There is a sin unto death. I do not say that he shall pray for it. The sin unto death. Now, this is not the unpardonable sin. There's an unpardonable sin. The Bible talks about the sin unto death, the pardonable sin. And that is when a man refuses to accept Jesus Christ as personal Savior. That's unpardonable sin. That's a sin against the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit comes to you and says, listen, you need to receive Christ. You need to receive Christ today. Today is the day of salvation. And you walk away from it. That's sin unto death. That is the unpardonable sin. But this sin, context shows us that John is speaking about a believer, one whom God is going to visit with physical death because of something he persists on doing. That'll never happen. Go over to Acts. Ananias and Sapphira. They lied to the Holy Spirit. They said they gave their tithe. They said they sold all their property and gave it all to God. What happened to them? Graveyard dead. Dead. Flat out dead. 1 Corinthians. First Corinthians chapter 11, verse 30. For this cause many are weak, sickly among you, and many sleep. That's death. Many are dead. We as Christians, and by the way, it has to be a Christian because a sinner goes straight to hell. Luke 11. Rich man Lazarus. Rich man died and is in hell, in torment. But this man is asleep. He says, many sleep. That's why we call it sleeping in Jesus. When a person passes away. But the Bible tells us that there is a judgment unto death. You can push God so long. And you can laugh at God so long. But if you're His child, He's not going to let you get away with it. That's one of the most sobering things about a Christian. I've seen people, I'm telling you, mean, devilish things that they're doing, and all of a sudden just... God smoked them. I mean, there was no other way that you could explain it. I've seen it. It scares me. I plead with people. I beg people. Don't get to that way. Don't get in God's crosshairs. Because it's going to happen. And I hear people say, well, that wasn't a God. And a thing happened a while back, and it got back to me. A family left our church, and they left over some crazy stuff, and something happened. And something happened to one of their family members. And he got back to me and said, yeah, I'm sure Pastor Shear said it was because they walked away from God. You know what? I never even thought of that. But after I started thinking about it, I really believe that's probably what happened. I'm not that devilish. I'm not that mean. I don't. If something happens to you and you lose this and you lose that and something happens here and something happens there, my first thing is I'm praying for you that God is allowing you to go through some things to make you stronger. Amen. I'm sure there's people out that I'd cry against doing some things. So my little sweetie had some problems. Hey, that's up to you. Boy, I'd sure hate to live with that, though. If I was going against the Word of God and I was going about things, I'd sure hate to live with that. You see what I mean? It's good to be sure and go to God and say, "Dear God, if this is of me, you show me. Right now, right here, right on the spot. I don't want to go any farther. I want to know about it." There are some chastisements that the Lord has made known to us in the Word of God, of people who have gone against the Word of God. There's adversity. Psalm 94. Verse 12 and 13. Psalm 94, 12 and 13. The Bible says, "Blessed is the man whom thou chastisest, O Lord, and teachest him out of the law, thy law, that thou mayest give him rest from the days of adversity until the pit be digged for the wicked." Lord, forgive me. I don't want to go any farther than this thing. That's a good way to live. Hey, Lord, if I've sinned, I want to get it right. I expect everyone in this church ought to want to do that. Amen? You want to live for God? Walk for God? And God holds us accountable for everything we do and say. Every word you say is recorded. He said, "How can that be? I carry in my back pocket an iPhone that I think I got 17 or 18 or maybe 19,000 pictures on it with videos. I think God is a little bigger than I am." So everything you say, everything you do is collected. That's why the Bible says that when we come before the Bema seat or the judgment seat of Christ, we'll be judged from things we've done good, things we've done bad. Some will be gold, silver and precious stone, some will be wood, hay, and stubble. So it ought to sober us as Christians to understand there's a judgment coming. There's also, the Bible says about sickness. The Bible is full of illustrations of sick saints because of their lack of self-judgment. Of course, we go right back to 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 30. "That's why some are sickly among you." Also, there is the judgment of humiliation. When a man or woman exalts himself, God has a way of humbling them. Remember in Daniel chapter 7, the great king, he became like an animal. Had feathers like a his clothing was feathers like an eagle. And he ate hay. He was the great king of all time. And he says, "And nobody can do anything like that." And God, that was it, man. God sent him out. He ran out in the wilderness, man. He ran around the wilderness till he came to his senses. Amen. God can get you to the point in your life where he'll make you so sick. Either he'll allow you to recover or you don't have enough sense to beg forgiveness. The Bible says there in James, call for the elders, call for the pastor, anoint oil on you, and confess your sin, the Bible says. But quiet here. There's also sorrow. Judgment of sorrow. David and Bathsheba had their time. But anytime you sin, there's always sorrow. Baby died. It's sickness and death because of the adulterous union, David and Bathsheba, and many other things. We don't hear this preaching anymore in churches. You won't hear this preaching anymore in churches because we're supposed to be the up and coming, and we're the most wonderful. All right, let me tell you something. God still deals with judgment. I see some people today that years ago used to one time stand for God, and they just brushed it off. Some people today that just it's almost a mockery the way they tell how they know their Bible and how they believe the Word of God, and they don't even do a penny worth to serve God. They got it all up here, but they have none here and none with their feet. They see people in trouble. They see this and that. They just kind of, oh, it's not my problem. It's not my need. I don't need that. People come financially and different, and they don't know which way to turn, and they ask for help, and they don't give it. I'm going to tell you something. One of these days, if you listen to me now, one of these days that's going to happen to you, and you'll remember that stuff. One of these days, it's going to come to you that someone is in need and you didn't help, and then later you're going to be in need. They'll just... You should always do as much as you can. As much as you can. First of all, it's not your money, it's God's money. And God can suck your airway out of you before you even know what happened to you. God can take you down so quick, you only have time to grab hold of something. I don't want to live like that. I want to be looking and living and being more like Jesus all the time. Yes, I will fail, and you will fail. There's been times that you have probably helped people, and you say, I will never help another people. Look at how they acted with that. Let me tell you something. Let me just tell you something. You're not keeping score. God is. When someone comes to me and says, preacher, I need some help, and if I can, I'll help them. Had a family all a long time ago. I said, what's wrong with you? She said, oh, I got a terrible toothache. I said, why don't you go to the dentist? She said, I don't have the money. I said, what's it going to cost? $400. I said, go down there. I'll write a check out. 2 weeks later, I see the family all had brand new bicycles. Started my ankles. All brand new bicycles. I said, man, those are nice. Yeah, Mom and Dad got them for me. And I was working an extra job just to make my ends meet. But I felt that God... And I know today that God had me do that to teach me a good lesson, because the Bible says when you give somebody something, don't ever expect it back. That's what the Bible says. So don't you go flipping it out if you can't take the hit. Amen. Got that now? That's Bible. If you give, don't you expect somebody to get it back. You give it in the name of the Lord. I owe somebody something. I think I owe Clyde Buell. Where's Clyde at? He leave? Don't I owe him $3? We had something going on back. Do I owe him $3? I do. Well, I got $3 tonight. I gave all the other I got $3. Oh, man, I got $5. Hallelujah. All right. So if you're really in need tonight, I'll give you two more. Amen. But the idea is that I found out that it is not my responsibility to judge, because God is going to take care of me, because I did what I believe that God told me to do. And that is a biblical principle, and that's what I want you to do. I want you to live by biblical principles. You have a preacher, what if you don't have it? You don't have it. It's not there. So I guess you can't give it. But if you got it, and you find out somebody needs it, and you can spare it, I challenge you to do something like that. You'll be surprised what God will do for you. You'll be surprised. It'll blow your mind. I don't know how many times I've been paid that $400 back. Something unexpected. Something. Listen, let's live like Christ. Listen, I know that I am going to be judged. So, here's the deal. Number one, I can judge my own self. I'm really merciful to this big old boy. I really like this guy. I mean, he's the best thing ever happened to me. So, if I know I'm going to be judged, three different judges, one, myself, God, or government, I'm going to take care of it right now before I have to go to the big house. Amen? When I see something I want and I know that that's against the Word of God and I'm not supposed to have something like that, I should turn my eyes from it and not look at it and say, I'm not going to, and I'm going to ask God to forgive me even just thinking about it. That's Bible. Read your Bible. Someday, we may read about you in the newspaper, in the Montana section, second page called the obituary. And it was caused by your unwillingness to come under to the judgment of Jesus Christ. To come under, live by this book. This is not a big book. All the things in the world are right here to teach you how to do things. It's not a big book. There's not a lot of do's and don'ts in the Bible, amen? There's really not. My goodness, you know, the Buddhists and the Hindus, all the millions of gods, the Hindus have to remember who's who and who, and they even made a god that don't know even what his name is. And I think they worship him more than any other ones. But we know who our God is. He's a personal God, and he gave you a love letter to live by it. Oh, friends, come to God tonight. Get the judgment done between you and him, and that's as far as it has to go. Don't keep at it, and God has to bring you before the church. Or if you're unwilling to come under the church, then all of a sudden you go before the judge of the world, the worldly judge. County judge, district court judge, state judge. Court of the United States. Just take care of it real quick. I'm not going down that path anymore because I'll tell you what. Let me tell you something. You will get caught. It will come. You will get caught. You can't get away with it. Father, I pray you'd help us tonight. God, help us to not to let this go on deaf ears. As the scripture talks about when the sower sowed and they didn't listen. Or the foolish man built his house upon the sand is one who was there and heard it and is unwilling to do what he's supposed to do. God, help us to heed your word of God. Father, speak to our hearts now. Heads about, I suppose you're here tonight and you say, preacher, I am not sure I'm saved. I'm not sure I'm on my way to heaven. Pastor, would you pray for me tonight? I want to make sure that I am on my way to heaven. Would you lift your hand? Let me pray for you. You're here tonight and you say, preacher, God is dealing in my heart and my life right now. Why don't you right there allow the judge of all the earth to take care of it and say, dear God, I claim 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Father, I beg you right now through the blood of Jesus Christ, this sin of rebellion or sin of whatever it is. And God, make a new heart in my life. Help me to put off the things of the world and put on the things of Christ and the Spirit. Father, help us now, Lord, as we have the Lord's Supper in Jesus' name. Amen.